Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Hey, it's episode 6 of the Morning Cup of Joe podcast. Thank you guys so much for being here. We're going to get into some fun topics today, and I hope you are ready. Merry Christmas week. Let's have a Monday. Let's go. And here we are, Monday. Can't believe it. It is December the 20th. Man, time just really flies by, doesn't it? And it is almost Christmas, and I hope you guys are doing well. Whenever you may be listening to the Morning Cup of Joe podcast, thank you so much for being here. If you are new to the podcast, my name is Joe Farrell, and I am the host of the podcast, and I am a morning TV weather guy, Monday through Friday. And finished up the show this morning, and we had some technological problems during the show today, and I tell you what, it made for a very Monday feeling show. No doubt about that whatsoever. So today's episode, before we get into things for episode 6 here, I am going to let you guys know that the podcast now does have Facebook and Twitter. And those Facebook and Twitter accounts, Facebook, it's Morning Cup of Joe Podcast. Twitter, it is at AM Cup of Joe. You can find the logo and everything is the profile picture. So if you guys want to give a follow or give a like to the podcast, feel free to do so. And also feel free to do that wherever you may be listening, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I know I kind of sound like a little bit of a sellout right now, but go ahead and give it a like and a follow, five-star rating, whatever it is. Or if you absolutely hate it, go ahead and give it 1 star and let me know why. And I will address any issues that you guys have. So today for episode 6, I'm actually really looking forward to this because I got a message from a listener. And shout out to you, Nate. Nate's a guy that is from my hometown in North Central Iowa. And he said, you should do a segment on your favorite slash craziest storm you've ever covered and or one that you witnessed. Nate, again, shout out. Thanks for the suggestion, because I didn't really 100% know what my plan was going to be for today's podcast before Nate said something. So let's go ahead and get into that topic. Tell you what, that's a good question, because obviously doing this for a number of years, going on into 5 years, you know, going into within the 5th year right now, 4.5 years total of forecasting weather and doing things on TV, but then just forecasting weather since I was 11 years old, there's a few storms in there that really stand out. And I would say that the first one that stands out was May of 2013, and I believe it was May 10th and 11th. Might have been just May 10th, but that day specifically stands out because, you know, there were a lot of storms before then too, but I don't remember all the details of those because I didn't know the forecast, you know, and didn't know all the terminology and things like that just yet, so I didn't have a full idea of what actually was going on at the time. So that is that's one that stands out to me because, I mean, snow, that's what it was on May 10th and 11th. Now, wherever you may be listening, if it's in the upper Midwest, you kind of know what I'm talking about. We can get snow into April and May, and it's not a huge deal. But if you're from the South or from somewhere where it just doesn't do that all that often, yeah, we got snow May 10th, and it was like 10.5 inches total is what we ended up with, and just an insane amount of snow for that time of year. And just that, I mean, that's a lot of snow just in general, even if it happened in the middle of December or the middle of January, February, whatever it may be. That's a lot of snow. And we got that May 10th, and I remember it was just like seven days later is what it was. We were hitting like 100 degrees. We hit 102 degrees, like 7 to 10 days later after that snow, and there were still snow piles in town, believe it or not. Like as that snow was melting, we were hitting 100 degrees. Just insane. The scenes, it was kind of the first one where I had a little bit more terminology and a little bit more knowledge that really stands out to me. And another one that stands out was you know, we got like 14 inches of snow in Ames one time when I went to Iowa State, my first year living in Ames. That was pretty crazy. And then as far as kind of the, since I've been on TV, those types of things, I'd say a first memory from Sioux Falls, as far as a storm that I covered in a memory, was, it was over the summer, and I can't remember exactly what month it was. I actually could bring up my Instagram that I actually posted a photo, so I can find the exact time that this happened. Okay, so this was, okay, so technically, yeah, still summer. This was August 5th of 2018. Oh, man. Why did I go into the station in jeans and a polo with Mickey Mouse on it? Are you kidding me, dude? I mean, it's a Nike golf polo, but it has like a Mickey Mouse logo on like the upper left part of the, like the chest area. You can't really tell on TV, thankfully, but some people probably could. I mean, this was in the middle of the night. So that particular storm, I digress on my choice of clothing that night, but it was, I was obviously in my suit for the shows that night, but August 5th, 2018. So there was a storm that was started on August 4th, ended up going into August 5th. So it was a storm that started in like west central South Dakota. Now, if any of you are from South Dakota that are listening, you know exactly what I'm going to talk about here. It's the fact that South Dakota has like two different climates in the same state. So you head over towards the Missouri River in the central part of the state and by the capital of Pierre. And it's like, it's really dry over there. Like it's not, it doesn't get very humid all that often. It's just much drier air sitting over in that part of the region. And then you go to the eastern part of South Dakota with, Sioux Falls in the southeastern corner. Down to Yankton, you know, Watertown, Aberdeen, places like that. If you know South Dakota, you know where those places are located. But the eastern part of the state, it gets so humid, and it gets humid just like the rest of the upper Midwest, for the most part, does during the summertime. And so the reason I bring this up is because storms that develop in the western part of the state and along the Missouri River, like this one did, don't have a lot of moisture to work with. So they can still become supercells, which are the, you know, crazy looking storm cells on radar that can produce tornadoes and things like that. It could still become a supercell. It's just that it doesn't produce a lot of rainfall. And so we like to call those LP supercells, which are low precipitation supercells. And this is one of those low precipitation supercells, and it was just one of them. And it traveled, it kind of hugged the Missouri River. So you know that it, it starts, Missouri River starts in Montana, and the snow melt in the Montana mountains actually has a big impact on whether flooding happens in the Midwest part of the Missouri River, believe it or not. I could probably get into that another time. But then it runs kind of north-south through the first part of when it's moving through South Dakota and going down towards the capital of Pierre. It runs north to south. And then it starts to kind of make a curve and then starts to run east or west to east, excuse me, for a little while before it starts going north-south again through Iowa. But that it was a thunderstorm that started near the Pierre area. It was just south of Pierre, and then it moved south along the Missouri River down to, it just moved real slowly, real methodically. It was past 10 o'clock. I think by the time we got to 11 o'clock, it was starting to fizzle out a bit, and it was by the town of Chamberlain along the Missouri River there in south central South Dakota, and it started to fizzle out. So I was like, all right, whatever. This thing may just start to explode when it gets into a more moisture-rich environment, which happened to be where we were in Sioux Falls. And dew points, which is just a measure of moisture at the surface, dew point temperatures, the higher they are, the more humid it feels. For most of the upper Midwest states in the summertime, you start to feel that humidity, that stickiness around, you know, a little bit warmer than 60 degree dew points. So dew points were in like the low 50s over in this area as the storm was fizzling out. but dew points and the amount of moisture in the Sioux Falls area was much greater. Dew points were in like the low 70s, which is a huge difference in the amount of moisture that's there. So this thunderstorm fizzled out, and I decided at like 11 o'clock that I was just gonna head home. I was like 15, 20 minutes away from the station as far as how long of a drive it was. And I ended up getting home, and I was starting to play video games, kind of winding down for the night, heading into, it was Saturday night, heading into Sunday, and I was watching radar, and this storm started picking back up steam again, and all of a sudden, that red box for a tornado warning shows up, and when that red box shows up, and you are a meteorologist on TV, the adrenaline rush is unlike a lot of things, and that adrenaline just started searing through me, and I hopped up off the couch. I got dressed and I put on the jeans and that Nike polo, just kind of the first things that I could find, and just race into the station. And I ended up being the first one there as far as out of all the other stations to start covering it. So I was very proud of that. But it was a storm that started exploding, and then it became this line of thunderstorms that didn't end up producing a tornado, but it produced straight line wind gusts. And there were tornado warnings and straight line winds of like 100 to 110 miles per hour as it moved through the eastern part of the state. And that happened at like 1:45 through 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And most of the coverage that I did was on my own. So it was just a hectic situation. And that's a storm that is going to stand out in my mind for a very long time. Just because of the nature of it, you know, how small it was and how it was producing hail in the and not producing much rain, as it was a severe thunderstorm warned storm kind of right along the Missouri River there from Pierre down to Chamberlain. And then it just exploded as soon as it got into the dew points that were in the low 70s and hit all that moisture, just exploded away. And away we went for quite a wild ride that night. So that storm really stands out. And then a snowstorm in Sioux Falls was pretty crazy. We got, it was like 13 inches of snow, and the city was, Sioux Falls is used to the snow, so the city usually does a pretty good job with the roads, keeping them as clear as possible and stuff. So not a whole lot actually shut down with that snowstorm, but it was a nasty one for sure. I mean, 14 inches of snow is nothing to kind of scoff at, but it was crazy for the fact that, you know, everything atmospherically set up as usual when it comes to a winter storm. They're always very hard to predict and very they're volatile. So any little change in the atmospheric conditions can change a big portion of the storm and all of that sort of fun stuff. So winter storms are always a challenge to forecast, and that's part of the reason why. And so It was a storm that was interesting for the fact that we ended up having at 850 millibars and 700 millibars, which is just different levels of the atmosphere, the surface, you know, depending on how close you are to sea level, usually around 1,000 millibars is where the surface is. And then, you know, surface-like conditions can be up to 925, but the 850 to 700, a little bit higher in the atmosphere, we ended up having a couple of fronts develop. And that was called frontogenesis. And it was the development of a couple of these fronts above the surface. And it ended up creating for, like, I don't want to say instability, but it created for some lift in the atmosphere and in the storm, which helped it to kind of keep chugging away and keep, you know, using what was left as far as energy and moisture in the atmosphere for this storm system. The frontogenesis allowed it to kind of keep going. And that's why we got an extra, we ended up with an extra like 3.5 inches out of that frontogenesis happening. So that was something that made that storm system in particular really interesting. There were countless number of times that I covered tornado warnings in South Dakota, Northwest Iowa, and Southwest Minnesota, countless winter storms. Weather gets pretty crazy in that region for sure. It also gets crazy down here in Missouri. There's a couple storms in particular down here that really stand out to me. Another one in South Dakota was a flash flooding event where, I mean, it seemed like that day the entire city of Sioux Falls was underwater. that was caused by, it was like 15 inches of snowpack that we still had on the ground, along with 3 inches of rain over a 2-day period. It was like 3 inches of rain, that 15 inches of snow all melted away at the same time, and the rivers just rose like crazy. And it, like I said, it seemed like half the city had a single moment was just underwater. It was just the craziest thing. The station, KDLT, was underwater too, and we couldn't even make it to the station that day. That was absolutely insane. Now moving down to Missouri, there wasn't a ton of severe weather. First year that I was here, you had 2019, May 22nd, 2019, the Jefferson City tornado that many of you probably have heard about. It was, a real shock to the city and real devastating to some businesses and some apartment complexes and some homes as well. And that was hard to see go through this area because, this area is very special and a lot of good people down here. So that was a tough one, but that was right before I ended up getting to this area. And what ended up happening is we didn't have really much severe weather over that next year. And we really haven't had much just in general since I've gotten here, and 2.5 years in a very severe weather prone state, the Show Me State. A lot of severe weather happens in this state, but just oddly enough, it just hasn't happened a ton in our area here in the kind of smack dab in the middle. But one storm that really stands out was a 3-inch hail event that happened in 2020. That was really crazy. I remember covering that overnight. Or actually, no, just kidding. We had hail the night before that wasn't as big that I covered overnight. This was heading into the weekend. It was Friday night, and I was at home sleeping. And then all of a sudden I hear the loud bangs on the roof of my duplex. And I was like, what in the world is going on right now? I knew there was a chance for some severe storms and some large hail being the primary threat, but didn't realize that it was going to produce 3-inch hail, this thunderstorm. I mean, people had hail. I mean, 3-inch hail is huge. I mean, that is big. And we had like people losing windshields, people losing their back windows of their vehicles, people losing siding, like damage to siding, damage to roofs. I mean, it was just a crazy event, 3-inch hail. But I remember hearing these loud bangs on the roof and thinking, just what in the world, checking radar. And I was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, this thing is massive. And then just looking out in my yard of my duplex and just the humongous hailstones just laying on the ground. That storm was pretty insane. And then there was it was actually to start off 2021, literally a New Year's ice storm, like New Year's Eve into New Year's Day ice storm. It was crazy. And I actually needed to wake up before the new year to head into work because it was going to be starting. Well, the craziest thing, this doesn't happen often. I'm not often waking up late to things. It's just I get too anxious when I'm going to be late for something. And I wanted to get to work closer to 11:30, 11:45 before the new year. I was just planning on ringing in the new year at the station because that ice storm was coming. And it was going to come quick. And those roads were going to get rough. And crazily enough, I woke up late, but it had already started. And it was like, if you've ever experienced freezing rain, as soon as it's like, it comes down as rain, but as soon as it hits an object that is 32 degrees or below, it instantly freezes to it. And that's why freezing rain events are so horrible, because there's nothing you can do about ice. You can drive in the snow. You just got to go slow and light on the gas pedal, light on the brake pedal. That's how I always go about it with snow and winter driving. But with ice, you can't really do anything. I mean, you're just slipping and sliding everywhere because a thin layer of ice, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. They actually did a really good job of keeping the roads clear and the highways clear that night. But I remember walking outside to start my car early and to melt some of that ice off. I mean, it was pouring freezing rain. Freezing rain usually falls pretty lightly, and it did end up doing that later in the day, but when it started, man, it came fast. It came quick. My goodness. I mean, it was pouring freezing rain. And we even had thunder freezing rain. It was a thunderstorm within a freezing rain event. I mean, it was just the craziest thing. And after I started my car, our, you know, my wife and I's house, our driveway slopes a lot. And so I almost slipped and like slid down the driveway because it was just a sheet of ice. And I was slipping and sliding all over the place. Probably would have made for a super funny video just watching me biff it every 5 seconds. But ended up making it to work just fine. But that was a crazy ice storm. And the fact that it happened on New Year's Eve into New Year's Day, like, what are the odds of that? Having some crazy winter weather ringing in a new year. And so that was a crazy storm. And then this last summer, we had some major flash flooding. It was the end of June. Some places in our area got 17 inches of rain in 3 days. And there were a couple locations the first night that we had a heavy rainfall that got like 10, close to 10 and a half inches in one night, in one sitting. It was just insane. And I have hardly ever seen a atmospheric setup like that. And it was the craziest thing because it was like, it was just the amount of moisture in our atmosphere for 3 days in a row. Actually, it was really just a whole week. It was just incredible. So even though it might show up as kind of like moderate to light rain on radar, it was still coming down really heavily because there was just so much water that could exit those storms, that could exit those storms to the ground. And a parameter that we look at when it comes to looking for that kind of thing is called precipitable water. And it's basically just the amount of water through a column of air. And our precipitable water was like, it was a little over 2 inches. It was like 2.1, 2.2, 2.3, which is like tropical levels of moisture in our atmosphere. So you think about all the tropical storms and hurricanes that produce such insane rainfall amounts in, you know, Texas and Louisiana and Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, places like that. Well, we were seeing that level of moisture. Except, of course, this was just over land, these storms, and didn't have the ocean to, you know, help directly fuel them. It was just bringing up moisture from the Gulf of Mexico and just streamlining it straight into these storms. Just the craziest setup. And that rain caused so many issues. We actually covered it live on air. Like, we cut in for tornado warnings and stuff. We actually stayed on air through the end of the show and like an hour and a half after the show because the flash flooding was so bad that the water rescues were happening in neighborhoods and things like that, and the rain just kept coming down. And it took a while for the floodwaters to recede and for life to go back to normal, but that was an insane event and certainly a storm that sticks out to me. And since then, really hasn't been all that crazy. We went from flash flooding at the end of June to a drought, which we're in right now. And we're going to end up probably with, like, I'm pretty sure it's going to end in the top 10 for like highest precipitation amounts in a given year for our area. But yet we're in a drought. That is something that, you know, climate change can cause some of these extremes back and forth. And again, climate change, something that I can get into a little bit more at a later date. But those are some of the storms that stand out to me and that were crazy that I've covered so far in my lifetime. And again, shout out Nate. Nate, you're the man. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending in a question. And please know, guys, that if you know who I am, you're friends with me on Facebook, or you know the podcast, social media, reach out to me. Let me know what topics you'd like me to cover and what you'd like to know about TV, if you'd like to know anything about the business. I can certainly answer plenty of questions and would love to talk about it more on the podcast here. But that is going to do it today for the Morning Cup of Joe podcast on this Monday, December 20th. Hope you guys have a fantastic Monday today and a great start to your work week. If you're off on vacation for Christmas, congratulations. I'm very happy for you. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. I'll probably not do another podcast until we get through the Christmas holiday. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, however you are celebrating. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave a rating, a like, whatever it may be. That would certainly help me out and I would really appreciate it. Have a great week and I'll talk to you again soon.